Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Well, hey, friends, I'm your host, Leanine Heiss, and back to school is in full force around the country. It's so fun to see your family's back to school pictures on social media following our hashtag Moms in Prayer. Today's guest is author, speaker, and Moms in Prayer mom, Dana Goresh. You might know her from the Secret Keeper Girl Tour or her books and ministry with tween girls, or you may have met her at one of our Moms in Prayer events. Regardless, her passion for the next generation and for prayer is a gift to the body of Christ. Today, we're going to talk with her about how her heart for students began and what keeps her ministering to girls. You can find the show notes for this episode and all the scriptures, books, and resources we discuss on the blog at momsinprayer.org. You're probably planning your back-to-school rallies, or maybe starting a brand new group, or maybe doing words and deeds. We have a wealth of information and ideas on our website and on Pinterest at Moms in Prayer. Also, Bless Our Schools Sunday is only 3 short weeks away. This is a day when Moms in Prayer partners with the local church to bless the teachers and staff in their local communities. This year, the date is September 15th. You can find letters to personalize to your pastor, flyers, and even things to pray about on the website at momsinprayer.org. My church has decided to pray the week before Bless Our Schools this year because that works better with our church calendar, and that's okay too. It's a huge blessing watching our local teachers stand and receive honor for the commitment they are making to the next generation and ask God's blessing over them. All right, folks, I know you're going to love this interview with our friend, Dana Goresh. Well, Dana, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Hello. Thank you. It's so good to be here with you.
It is so fun to get to see you on my screen again. We've overlapped in person a number of times. And yeah. I would venture to say Moms in Prayer moms are probably very familiar with you. But in case they don't know you, would you introduce yourself to our audience?
Well, I am a mom. That's the most important thing about me. And a brand new grandma. And I love tween girls and teen girls. And I love pouring God's truth into their hearts and discipling moms who are maybe just a few years behind me in how to pray for their daughters and how to disciple their daughters. That is truly my life passion.
So you're married.
Yep, I am.
And where do you live?
I live in State College, Pennsylvania on a hobby farm where I try to keep the animals alive by watching videos on YouTube.
That's awesome. You're one of my very favorite social media followers. I love when the animals make their appearances.
Yesterday, an animal made an appearance in my living room. I walked downstairs for the morning and there was a turkey standing there staring at me.
Awesome.
It happens.
Dana, you're also a Moms in Prayer mom. Tell me how that happened, how you joined us in Moms in Prayer.
Well, it's probably been almost a decade or possibly a little longer than that, that I had a burden on my heart to lead moms in praying for our high school students. My husband and I, as part of our Pure Freedom Ministry, run a Christian high school locally here in central Pennsylvania. And it seems like for 5 years, I'd been trying to get moms to be excited about praying. I tried everything, Lee. I tried tea parties and weekend getaways and let's go to this conference and get you revved up, and nothing worked. And then I met Fern Nichols, the founder of Moms in Prayer, at an event where we were both speaking, a True Woman event by Revive Our Hearts. And I just happened to get a few moments alone with her. And I said, Fern, how do you motivate other moms? I want to pray, but I can't get anyone to pray with me. And I told her how I had just about done cartwheels to get moms to pray and nothing was working. And she looked at me and she said, have you prayed about it? Does that sound like Fern Nichols?
That, if there's anything that Fern says, it would be that line right there.
Yes. And I thought to myself, well, I know I haven't actually prayed about it. So she said, stop doing anything other than praying. Just ask God to raise up those moms and wait on him. So I began praying pretty much daily that God would really ignite passion in moms at Grace Prep to pray with me for our children. And do you know, just a couple months later, a mom approached me and said, Dana, have you ever heard of Moms in Prayer? I think it was Moms in Touch at the time. And I said, of course I have. Why do you ask? She said, I would really like to start a group for Grace Prep.
Yay!
So it's been going strong since then, about 10 years. I'm not actively involved because I don't have children in the school anymore, but the group is still fueled. And it has just, we have seen such precious answers to prayers as we have used the Moms in Prayer format. I love it. I actually use it with my staff. We'll just meet to pray for our True Girl moms and our True Girl daughters here in our offices. And it's just a phenomenal and exceptional format to guide you in praying and to motivate you to pray.
There's just nothing like praising at the beginning and entrusting our concerns to a God who just has it all together. And that's especially right. true in motherhood, isn't it? Don't we yeah. need God to show up in all of his power in motherhood?
We absolutely do. Because otherwise we start to try to show up in our own power. And we're not real good at it. I mean, moms, really, we want to fix things and control things. Unless we're slowing down and acknowledging God in praise with humility, we forget who really is the one producing fruit and who really is the one calling the shots.
One of the things I love, Dana, about your ministry is this emphasis on mother-daughter and even mother-son relationships. Mm-hmm. But basically, you talk about mothers being the influencers in their kids' lives. Tell us yeah. about that and how God kind of moved that into your heart.
Well, about the year 2000, when I was writing my first book, And the Bride Wore White, Seven Secrets to Sexual Purity, I had such a heart for teen girls not to know the pain of sexual sin and brokenness, but to walk in purity, to walk in truth, to walk in integrity, to understand their value and not go along with the empty-headed, mindless crowd. And I was traveling and speaking, and God was doing great things. But as I was doing research to really try to figure out what are the factors in place in a girl's life when she is able to live with self-control and with godliness, what are the factors in her life that really reduce the risk? The research tells us that the number one risk reducer, other than the presence of God himself in our kids' lives, is the mother-daughter relationship. It's called, in social science, it's called parent-child connectedness, which is just, you know, doing things together, being together. The myth of quality time is just such a lie. We need quantity time with our kids. We need to be deeply connected to them, especially on these topics that terrify the life out of us. Topics like gender and sexuality and substance abuse and eating disorders. Those things were like, if I just don't talk to her about it, maybe she won't believe lies. Well, nope, that's not how it works. The enemy doesn't play fair, and he can introduce the lies and is especially good at it in the absence of truth. So we as moms have to be connected and directing her towards truth, or those lies, our silence can be like a megaphone for the lies of the enemy to really speak into our daughter's hearts. So that really created a shift in my ministry from me ministering to tween girls and teen girls to me equipping moms and creating experiences, events, and platforms for the moms to drive the conversation.
And I see your husband doing some of this as well, right?
Yeah, because parent-child connectedness works whether it's a father or a mother, but there are certain things that a mother has to instill into a daughter and a father gets to instill into a son. And so in addition to our True Girl Live events and Bible studies and resources, we've just started within the last couple of years, Born to Be Brave. And we have these phenomenal father-son events all across the country, as well as we're working on building up our resources for fathers and sons to connect and come to God together.
Mm. Well, how do you see the enemy attacking our kids today? What, as you think through the issues that we're facing today, what are raising some of the biggest red flags to you?
Well, social media is a really big one, and moms are really concerned about it. They're wondering, You know, there's so much pressure, and girls when they're 10, 11, and 12 years old are getting Instagram accounts, Facebook accounts. They're even making social media just for that age group. So moms are kind of sounding the alarm in that area, and it's feeding into some of the lies that have been present for 15, 20, 30 years, which are body image issues because of all the filters, depression, boy craziness, because a lot of times the content on there really does direct them towards things, the filters that girls are just picture perfect because, you know, they're taking 50 selfies before they decide which one to post. And then they're filtering the life out of it so that she doesn't really even look like that. And so I guess I'm thankful that in my day and age, all I had to do was compare myself to like 5 or 10 supermodels. And now these girls are having to compare themselves to everyday girls who are filtered and photoshopped and perfected. And so I think that social media has increased the risk in those areas. We can clearly link it to depression and out of whack emotions. So that's an area where, like, I've really written about that in Lies Girls Believe. We're incorporating that topic into our new True Girl Pajama Party tour that's just coming out this year. Just kind of giving moms the tools to know how to talk to their daughters about it. And when it is okay, when their little brains are ready to have discernment and be exposed to things. And it's not before the age of 13, because even the makers of the apps themselves recommend don't be on these apps before the age of 13. Unfortunately, the research that I did for Lies Girls Believe proves that many of the moms are allowing their daughters to be on before that age. And then they're confused. Why is my daughter's emotions out of whack? Why is she struggling with body image issues so much sooner than I did? Well, we've introduced them by allowing them to be in places where they're really not mentally and emotionally ready to be.
I love your new resource, A Mom's Guide to Lies Girls Believe. I love this book, Dana. And it's so picture friendly. I'm not afraid to have my girls read through it too. It's wonderful. One of the statistics that you have in there just kind of stopped me cold. And it's 80% of moms are less concerned about their own girls than other tween girls. It's kind of like you're saying, we think this is someone else's daughter's problem.
Yeah, that was when I did focus groups across the country with moms trying to figure out, you know, what content do I put in this book, Lies Girls Believe? Where are their daughters struggling? It was really unbelievable to see that consistently there were three lies moms were believing that were popping up in every focus group. And one of them is just that my daughter's not struggling like everybody else's. When I ask them, hey, are you worried about the lies tween girls are facing today? Are they worse than when you were that age? 80% of the moms said, yes, they are worse. And I am worried. And then I said, what about your daughter? Is she more likely to believe lies? And 80% of them said, no, not my daughter. She's not at risk. And I was like, wait a minute. These two things can't both be true. So I, after a couple of focus groups of seeing that happen, I started facilitating a conversation about two things. The first was the topic of submission and obedience. How does your daughter do in that area? And moms would just weep as they said, my daughter treats my husband, her dad, more like a brother than a father. She's not respectful. Or my daughter really struggles with rebellion or disobedience. And they were kind of realizing, I think, that maybe their daughters were struggling more than they thought. And then we talked about, what does your daughter think about being a wife and a mom? And moms were so sad because it's the best job in the world to be a mom. Like, there is no job that I've ever had that compares to it. And I have been on the mission field. I have been a speaker at big events. I've been an author. I've done some really fun stuff. Nothing compares to the joy of being a wife and a mom. And these moms were saying, yeah, my daughter really doesn't look forward to that. She feels the pressure that this world is putting on her, that the most valuable thing about her will be her career. That's what makes her valuable. Her career outside the home. And then we're talking about 10, 11, 12 year olds thinking about what college they want to go to and mapping out their career life. It's crazy. And so then I said, all right, now that we just had this topic, this conversation rather, about submission and what your daughter thinks about her future, is your daughter more likely to struggle? And then a lot of the moms changed their tune. I think it's this. It's really easy for us to look across the table at our daughter, and she might be 12, but we still see her in footy jammies. And she's still that cute little, like, we just never stop seeing that. And it's hard for us to believe. that she is struggling the same way that we struggled when we were her age. And it's a lie that a mom has to be careful about, because if she's not vigilant and understanding, my daughter is at risk, just like Adam and Eve were at risk with a perfect father, then it makes us complacent. And we don't read the cues we need to read when our daughters are really in trouble, because we're thinking everything's okay.
I know you developed resources about that, but what's one step you would have us take today in the lives of our daughters and even sons? And maybe like also, what's one way that you would pray?
Well, I think something that's really important is to use God's word when you pray and God's truth when you pray. And one of the things I did in the Mom's Guide to Lies Girls Believe is with each topic, there was a prayer challenge about how you talk to your daughter about whatever topic it was that we were exploring in that chapter. And I think it's really important to pray using God's word, because it takes out the bias. As we go to God's word and we pray a scripture about her holiness or obedience, it takes out of our hands, again, the control of, I know how to pray for my daughter, and it puts God's words and God's power and God's truth on our tongues when we pray. And I really like to pray in groups out loud, like you do with Moms in Prayer, because the enemy is unlike God in that he cannot hear our thoughts. You can pray silently in your head all day long, but he cannot hear those thoughts and those intentions as you use God's word to pray. And the word is the sword of the spirit. So when I pray for my daughter out of Titus 2, God, by your grace, would you teach Lexi, would you teach Autumn to live a godly, self-controlled, upright life in this present age, which is so crooked and corrupt when it comes to areas of morality. Would you teach her by your grace? That puts a whole new power, because now my voice sounds like the voice of God, because I'm echoing his words and I'm using my sword of the spirit, my one offensive weapon to overcome those lies. And the enemy hears that and he cowers. He doesn't like it when we use the word to pray, and it kind of dismantles and disables him.
So good. Totally agree. And I love how you said that it helps clear up our motivation as well. We're not just asking for God to help them obey so that we feel better about our motherhood. That's actually what God requires of them. And when we pray his word over them, it does clear that up, that motivation inside of us, and help us shift that responsibility onto the Lord as well.
That's right.
One of the things that I thought was interesting too is that 22% of our girls claim to be Christians, but they don't know how to become Christians. And yeah. I thought that was confusing and part of our responsibility as moms to clear that up. Will you talk to me about that?
Well, obviously the enemy wants to plant lies in us about our salvation, because that is the total end game, right? Christ died that we might be saved, that we might surrender our lives to him. And when that happens, now we are sealed for eternity with Christ. So the enemy doesn't like that, because that is a big losing game for him. So it makes sense that many of us have believed lies about our salvation, and our daughters are not immune to it. You may have a daughter who's been in church since that first week she was born, who's heard the gospel over and over again, but those 22% that were believing they were Christians but weren't said things like, of course I'm a Christian, I go to church. Of course I'm a Christian, my mom and dad are. Of course I'm a Christian, I've always been. Of course I'm a Christian, I was born that way. So they were not able to verbalize sin, the shedding of Christ's blood, the surrender. And I think there's lots of language we can use. Different denominations use different words, but there's definitely a point of understanding your sinfulness, understanding the free gift of salvation, and surrendering. And this 22% of girls said, I'm a Christian, but they could not verbalize that. In fact, verbalized something very incorrect. When we did the survey, we surveyed over 1,500 tween girls. And when we asked them about this, one girl, in just being asked the questions, was kind of like, I don't know. And she went to her mom and said, I was really confused about this question, and I think I'm a Christian because, and she verbalized the lie. And right then and there, the mom was able to lead her to Christ. And I just love that God was already at work before we even wrote the book. And so many moms, since we've written it, have really been able to have fruitful conversations with their daughters and see them make a decision. And going back to lies moms believe, a lot of times moms believe the lie. My daughter's too young for me to talk about this, fill in the blank, sex, gender, substance abuse. And one of the things they believe my daughter's too young for was salvation. Like, she's just not ready to make that decision. I want it to mean something. Well, make sure that she is ready and that it's not just something you're forcing upon her or she's doing to please you, because that can happen with children. But God's word says not to get in the way of little children coming to him. And I had a very authentic salvation experience when I was very little. My friend Nancy DeMoss Walgemuth had a very authentic encounter with Christ and his salvation when she was very small. And the research really shows us that the majority of us make decisions to follow Christ, that follow him our whole lives faithfully, make those decisions before our 13th birthday. So moms, make sure that you are making space for her, letting her make that decision, inviting her into Bible study and prayer of her own, because there's no junior Holy Spirit. There's no junior Great Commission. It's not like, well, you can come to know Christ, but you can't do the Great Commission until you're 30 or 18. Or so you have your driver's license. It's now. Treat your daughter the way Christ did. And he says, come to me. But I really think it's important that you ask some questions. Are you a Christian? When did that happen? What does that mean? Because our daughters are prone to believe the lie that they are, but they really aren't.
Well, and that's one of our priorities at Moms in Prayer, is that our students would come to know Christ. That's what we're all about. That's what we're praying for, ultimately. And I think this gives us a way to introduce that conversation with our own kids, making sure they understand the nuts and bolts of why they're saved and how that happens.
Exactly.
Well, Dana, you are in the process of rebranding, which people may not know what that means, but you're transitioning from Secret Keeper Girl to True Girl. Tell us about that.
Sure. Oh my. Secret Keeper Girl is 15 years old, and it's the mother-daughter connecting ministry that we began to create for tween girls in the year 2003. There's Bible studies, there's books that guide daughters through kind of, I hesitate to call them self-help, because it's really God help. But it would be your daughter's first nonfiction reading experience on topics like frenemies, mean girls, best friends, boy craziness, all those kinds of things. And then we have these wonderful live events where for 2.5 hours, moms and daughters are brought together and they have the most fun digging into God's word with live worship and games and balloon columns and confetti cannons and deep Bible teaching. And we've loved the fruit of this ministry. Just over 10,000 moms and daughters have made first-time decisions at those live events to follow Christ and surrender to his salvation. And so we love them. But about 18 months ago, God really revealed to me through some heartbreaking conversations that our name might not be the wisest. We didn't expect to create this big ministry. I wrote a book and then another book and then another book. And the first book was called Secret Keeper Girl, because we wanted to keep the secrets of true beauty alive for the whole girl world. You know, like you keep your grandma's secret spaghetti sauce recipe alive, right? But now we live in this hashtag MeToo world, and secrets, keeping some secrets can be very harmful and dangerous. And a mom approached me and said, I love your ministry. I love that we're here tonight at this event. We're here on scholarship because you've been so generous, but my daughter's been abused. And tonight on the way home, I have to explain your name. And I just burst into tears. I was like, I never want that. I never want a girl to inadvertently think that keeping some secrets is good when it's very harmful, and she needs to break that silence to get help. So it was not a small decision, but we decided we needed to rename our ministry after 15 years. It's kind of scary because it's a little like starting over. We're afraid of, you know, 15 years of growth and recognition. But even though the fruit has been that moms and daughters have shared secrets, and we've even have lots of beautiful stories of at the event, even though we don't talk about abuse, girls turning to their moms because God's spirit is so thick at those events and sharing secrets that were hurtful. But we felt like we needed to change the name to make sure that nobody inadvertently believed that keeping a secret was a good thing. So We're rebranding to True Girl. I'm super excited about the name. It allows us to partner with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth's Revive Our Hearts True Woman Ministry. And now we have ministry for 8-year-olds all the way up to 88 and beyond. And it's phenomenal. But we do need everybody's help getting the word out that Secret Keeper Girl isn't gone. We're still alive and well and better than ever. We're just a different name, True Girl.
Well, you know, we did this too. When we went from Moms in Touch to Moms in Prayer, it actually was just clarifying what we were all about. And you're doing that same thing. And we're so excited about that for you.
Yeah. And I love the name Moms in Prayer. I think it's just encapsulates, it's more accurate. It's easier when I tell someone Moms in Prayer, they're like, oh, I think I know what that's about, you know? Mm-hmm. So you did give me some courage. I was like, well, they did it. I think we could do it too. Thanks for your help in getting the word out.
Absolutely. And we love cheering you on, Deanna. Would you mind praying for the moms that are listening right now who feel in over their heads? Isn't that just like being a mom in general?
Yeah, that's like almost every day. We feel that at some level. I'd love to pray for them.
Would love it.
Lord Jesus, I just lift up to you the moms listening right now. I pray that something that Leah and I shared today was just the encouragement she needed for her heart. And as we do sometimes feel like we're in over our heads, I think about how in the first chapter of Ephesians, you say that this whole earth, everything is under your feet. And so, Lord, even when we're in over our heads, everything is still under your feet and under your control. Mm. So, God, use that in over our heads feeling to come to you in dependence, to come to you in prayer, to revitalize our prayer need and our prayer connection and our prayer passion. And just help us today, Father, to start with a fresh slate, a clean start, to say, Lord, I trust you that my children are in your hands, they're under your feet, and you have everything in control, because you truly do. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray this. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for being with us, Deanna.
My pleasure.
I am so grateful for Deanna and her heart for girls. And we'd love for you to partner with us in praying for her team as they rebrand to True Girl and follow God's leading in that way. You can find ways to connect with Deanna and all the show notes on our blog at momsinprayer.org. Hey, 3 quick steps for you as we wrap up. 1, jump on our website and join a Moms in Prayer group if you aren't in a group already. You are going to love the difference it makes in your world. Today is the day to join us in fighting for the next generation. 2, share this episode with a friend right now. It's easy to click share and send it in a text to a friend who may not be involved in a Moms in Prayer group. And 3, would you consider giving to this life-changing ministry of Moms in Prayer and help us continue to see every school in the world covered in prayer? You can jump on the website or text the word STEWARD to 41444. That's the word STEWARD to 41444. Happy back to school season, friends. What you are doing as you pray for the kids in your life matters because moms are making the difference. Moms just like you. See you next week.